Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 20. And I'm going to read beginning at verse 1 down through verse 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone rolled, taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which first came to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hadst borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Today we shall look at the doctrine of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, and its impact upon the world in general, and the individual in particular. There are many today who deny the great resurrection of Christ from the dead, and these are supposedly fundamental Bible-believing individuals. Yet they have been tricked by the devil and are still on their road to hell and eternal damnation. Some of you may be in this room at this hour, so all of you need to listen as never before. Did Christ arise from the dead, or have we been fooled and tricked? This is the premise upon which we shall build for the next few moments. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, we're going to look at the credibility of the resurrection. Notice it, the credibility of the resurrection. And then secondly, we're going to see the consequences of the resurrection. Now, people today, for the most part, they will somehow admit with their head that the Lord Jesus has arisen from the dead, but they really don't know. And if somebody comes along that has a glib tongue and they can sway their emotions, well, they'll follow that individual. And the first thing you know, they're right back out in the world again. And we see they've never been converted. They've never come to know Christ. They do not know the credibility of the resurrection. Now, beloved, you and I better recognize one thing. Our faith stands and falls with the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ is not all that he says he is, then he is the world's biggest faker. And if Christ did not arise from the dead, then we are still in our sins. We are of all men most miserable, and we ought to close all the churches, turn them into a dance hall or whatever it is, and then adopt the philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, because there won't be any judgment. However, we need also to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is all that he says he is, and therefore he will do all that he says he will do. This means that there is a damnation waiting for every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the credibility of the resurrection for just a few moments. First of all, we're going to see the supernatural evidence of the resurrection. Take your Bibles now and follow along with me in Matthew chapter 28, and we find in verses 1 through 4, we see the supernatural evidence of the resurrection. First of all, we look at the earthquake accompanying the resurrection. Matthew chapter 28, and we find in verse 1 through 4, we read, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Here you see the earthquake accompanying the resurrection. Now the earthquake is a symbol of God's majesty and power. Now we say, now, Pastor, wait a minute. Take your Bibles now. Follow along with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter 12, and you look with me at verse 25 down through verse 29, where the Scripture says, "See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And this word, "yet once more," signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now that earthquake is going to take place, and we see it set forth before us again in the Word of God. Take your Bibles now and turn to Revelation chapter 6. Look with me, if you will, to the Word of God in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, where we read, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Here you see the credibility of the resurrection. First of all, the supernatural evidence that accompanied it. We find it's a symbol. The earthquake which accompanied the resurrection is a symbol of God's majesty and power. It is also a symbol of the shaking of the earth by the gospel, and that has been done. And then we see also there's the coming of the angels. You see, a lot of people fail to realize one thing, that the angels of God testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ just as well as human beings do. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, we read, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Here you have the coming of the angels. Now, this is a testimony that God was doing it and not man. Here's the first aspect of the credibility of the resurrection. There's the earthquake which accompanied it. We find then also there is the coming of the angels which accompanied the resurrection. The second thing we want to look at is the rolled away stone. Again, Matthew chapter 28, verse 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it." Now that stone was rolled away. And listen carefully now. We find that all of this is recorded in all the Gospels. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. It's found in Mark chapter 16. It's found in Luke chapter 24. And it's found in John chapter 20 and verse 1. And four different men wrote the four different Gospels. Therefore, you have the evidence of the resurrection. Because by two or three witnesses shall every word be established. So, my friend, the credibility of the resurrection is set forth very clearly if only we will examine the evidence that God gives us. We see it's the rolled away stone. Now, that rolled away stone is a revelation to all that the tomb is empty. There's nobody in that tomb. You can go to the tombs of all the other religious peoples across the world, the great individuals. You can go to Muhammad's tomb. You can go to Confucius's tomb. You can go to Buddha's tomb. You can go to all the other so-called individuals who presented themselves to be as God's servants. You can go to their tombs, and you'll find out that they're all there. But when you go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see the rolled-away stone, a revelation to all that the tomb is empty. Then, coupled with that, God also gives us some more evidence. Turn back to our text, if you will, in John chapter 20. And we find in verses 3 through 8, the Lord God of heaven tells us about the evidence of the grave clothes. Listen to it, if you will. "Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Now, what in the world is all this? Here you see the grave clothes left behind. The napkin was left by itself. Now, remember, back in those days when they buried people, they wrapped them in strips of clothing like a mummy. And we find that they covered their faces grave with this napkin. And we see that when they came into the grave clothes or came into the grave, they found that the grave clothes there were left behind. And we find that the napkin was not covered the face. In other words, the napkin was off in the corner so they could look in and see that cocoon that they had wrapped the body of our Lord in. And it gave an evidence very clearly that the body was absolutely gone because my Lord had risen from the dead. Now there's a third evidence. Remember now, all of these are supernatural evidences. Take your Bibles now and go back again with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 27. We'll show you the next evidence. The credibility of the resurrection is based upon these evidences, and these evidences are all supernatural. Man cannot explain them, but they took place, and rest assured of one thing, it was an evidence that God was doing it and not man. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 50 through 2 or 3, we read these words. Listen to it. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now listen carefully. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. What do you have here? You have here the grave clothes left behind, and then you also have the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. Beloved, this is the supernatural evidence of the resurrection. To explain away the resurrection, you've got to explain away the supernatural evidence of it. And I want to tell you right now, nobody is able to do it. God has clearly set forth once and for all that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a dead Savior. He's not on the cross at this hour. No, sir, he's not in the tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's a living, resurrected, exalted, glorified, and one day ruling monarch who's seated at the right hand of the Lord God of heaven at this hour. And one day he will come, and every knee will bow before him, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now there is not only supernatural evidence of the credibility of the resurrection, but there is also, my radio friends, the natural evidence of the resurrection. Now, if you follow along closely, and I don't have time to give them all to you, but I will name them so you can look them up in your Bible. There are 14 manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ after he arose from the dead. The first was to Mary Magdalene. The second was to the women. The third was to Peter. The fourth was to the disciples on the road. The fifth were to the apostles in the upper room without Thomas. The sixth was the apostles with Thomas. The seventh was by the seven by the lake. The eighth was on the mountain to the apostles and the 500 brethren. The ninth one was to James. And we find the tenth was to the 11th, to the 11 disciples. The 11th one was to Paul. The 12th one was to Stephen. And then the 13th one, I should say, was to Paul in the temple. And also the 14th one was to John on the Isle of Patmos. My radio friend, the Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead. There will be a 15th manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ that will come back when my Lord will come and rapture us in the air to be with him. Because one of these days, my Lord's going to come. And we find the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And number 15 in the scripture is the number of rest. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I realize that many of you at this hour know about him. But my friend, that's not enough. If an individual denies the resurrection, rest assured of one thing. It leaves that individual into a sevenfold state of despair. Listen again to God's word as the Apostle Paul brings it out for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 13 through 19. Listen to it. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But I want to go on record again to you at this hour, my radio friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ did arise from the dead. Now you have not only that in denying the resurrection does it leave a person in a sevenfold state of despair, but we find also that the demonstrative guarantee of the resurrection sets forth a hope for every individual. Number one, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees the remission of our sin. My Lord was delivered for our offenses, but we find he was raised again for our justification, according to Romans chapter 4 and verses 24 and 5. Secondly, we find it's also a reality of another resurrection. Yes, there's coming another resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50 we read, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, the reality of the resurrection. Now the third aspect is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive today in the hearts of every one of his true believers. Nobody can take that away from a true believer. Our Lord died. Our Lord rose again from the dead. Our Lord today is alive, and he lives within the hearts of every one of his believers. The fourth aspect is this. The witnesses of the resurrection have power with God and man. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no hope for a sinner apart from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you know Christ? If not, let me urge you at this hour. You seek the Lord right there. Just bow your hearts right there before God. Ask him to open your heart, show you who you are and what you are, the judgment you're under, and save you by his grace. May he do so, is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of The Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.